How many are ready to jumpstart the year? Let me ask that again. How many are ready to jumpstart the year? All right. We started a series a few weeks ago called Jumpstart, and we're talking about getting the year started off right and how awesome things we can do that. 2 weeks ago, we talked about learning to number our days, and we talked about that scripture that David talked about. And he says, God, teach us to number our days. And when we do that, that's the beginning of wisdom. And that means basically means we need to learn to focus our life. If we had 1 year to live, the doctor says you only got 1 year to live. How about you live that year? That really helps you focus in on what's really important. The things that we think are important really wouldn't be important if we only had a year to live. And the things we think are unimportant would probably take a lot more value. Some things we've let kind of grow cold. And so we spent that service talking about how to focus, how to set goals, and how to operate this year focused on what's really important, allowing God to teach us to focus on what's important. Last week we spent a lot of time talking about, who knows what we talked about last week? Huh? Anybody remember what we talked about last week? How we succeed at work, right? I'm glad someone, how many succeed? How many had a different work view this week? How many said, wow, several of you talked to me this week and sent me emails and said that, hey, it changed the way you look at your work. And we talked about how to succeed God's way at work, and we talked about the scriptures that go along with that. And so if you've missed any of those sermons, you can go on to mydestinychurch.com and you can download all those for free, or you can sign up for our automatic iCast and that can receive that. And we say a shout out to people actually around the world who are listening to us every week, and we say God bless you. We hope you have a great new year, those who are listening through the internet. Well, today I want to talk to you about how to handle the small things. How to handle the small things. And how many know that it's not the big things that get you? It's the small things. Many times we think it's the big things that really get us. And in all reality, it's really the small things that really seem to bring us under. And if we wait until we think it's big things going to come and, you know, and I'm going to conquer or not conquer, that's really not the case. Because you'll never handle the big thing until you can handle the small thing. Let me say it again to you. You'll never be able to defeat the big problems in your life until you can handle and defeat the small problems in your life. Matter of fact, Dave Ramsey teaches us in his book, he talks about when you get out of debt, you don't tackle the biggest debt you have, you tackle the smallest debt you have, and you work your way up. Because he knows if you can tackle that small thing, you can tackle the bigger thing and you grow momentum. It's the same thing principle in life, that if we can't learn to handle small things in our life, we'll never be able to handle right the big things in our life. And so small things really matter, and they matter to God. Small things matter to God. Do you realize that? That the small things in life, they really matter to God, and they really have a purpose. And so today we're going to talk about how do we handle small things. Matthew 25 and 21 says, because you were loyal with the small things, I will let you care for much greater things. Come and share my joy with me. Now, isn't this a great testimony of what God's got to say? Because you handle the small things right, now let me give you some bigger things. Now, some of you here today, you're waiting for this big blessing. You know, when's God going to give me my big blessing? When's God going to increase my anointing? When's God going to increase my blessing? Because you were loyal with the small things, I will let you care for much greater things. And so basically what he's saying, when we learn to be loyal, faithful in the small things, he says, then I will increase you in the big things. But isn't that true? How many know we're not going to allow our kids the keys to the car? All right, you're 16. Here you go. Here's the keys to the car. No, they got to prove responsibility. They got to drive with the learner's permit. And they got to learn to do the small things in the car right, how to pay attention and buckle up and adjust the mirror and put the turn signal and stay in their lane, you know, how to stop and, you know, that, you know, all those things. We got to tell them to do the small things first. I just don't throw my keys to my kids and say, here you go, see ya, have a good life. It doesn't happen that way. They work their way up through being diligent, you know. Can you start the car? All right, let's do that without grinding it this time, okay? You know, can you move the car from the parking place A to the front door to pick me up without killing anybody? All right, you've done a good job, all right? You know, we learn to teach them, and it's the small things, and as they get and conquer the small things, then they will move on to bigger things. Same principle God says in Scripture, that when we learn to handle the small things, he says, then you will be able to handle the big things. When you can handle the small blessings, right, then I'll give you bigger blessings. And when you can handle the small problems right, then and loyal to those, then I'm going to give you a bigger reward. And so God cares about the small things. Many times we overlook small things. We are looking for the bigger and better thing. We're always got our eye focused on the big thing. That's human nature, isn't it? We're always looking at the next biggest thing, and we never outgrow that. We kind of always look from, you know, kids go from Christmas to Valentine's Day to Easter, you know, and the 4th of July and Thanksgiving. I mean, we never lose that. We always have the next big thing in mind. And God says, no, it's the small things that really matter. It's the small things that shape my character. It's the small things that build my faith. It's the small things where I learn to walk in obedience. And so this year, my heart's goal is that we will learn to walk diligent in the small things. We will learn to be faithful in the small things. Because if we're faithful in the small, I know God's got something greater ahead for us. Someone said this. I wanted to say, I couldn't find out who said it, but I know it's a quote. I found the quote. I couldn't find out who said it, and I was really tempted to say I said this because I couldn't find it. But I want to be faithful in the small things and not take credit for a quote I didn't give you. So someone once said, in the great affairs, men show themselves as they wish to be seen. Isn't that true? In great affairs, men show themselves as they wish to be seen. But in small things, they show themselves as they really are. Isn't that so true? In great affairs, we show ourselves as we wish to be seen. But in the small things, we can really find out where our character is, where we really are. You know, if I had a grain of sand here today, and I took a grain of sand, you wouldn't hardly be able to see it on the end of my fingertip here. Actually, I had one, but I lost it, and I can't find it. So let's pretend it's still here today. If I took this grain of sand, it's a small thing, isn't it? If I take a grain of sand and put it in the bottom of my sock and wore it around all day, how many know that small thing would turn into a big pain, wouldn't it? If I can take that same grain of sand and put it in an oyster, and what happens? Over time, it'll form a pearl. You see, it's all in how you handle the small things. It can be a great irritation, or it can become a pearl in your life. And it's how we handle these small things in our life that God is judging us, and God is going to determine what he wants to do in our life. I believe we can look at this, and I think there's a great story here. I love looking at Moses' life. There's so many lessons we get out of looking at Moses' life, and we're going to look at his life today for a short period here and see some things in his life that how he dealt with small things, how Moses dealt with some small problems. You know, we know Moses, the guy who parted the Red Sea and God gave the Ten Commandments to, the person that, you know, that did all these great things, and he had the plagues and all these great things that Moses did. But Moses had some irritations in his life. He had some small drip, 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 drip. You know that faucet that just drips? It's a small irritation. You ever had that drip in the roof or ceiling or a faucet and you can't get it to stop and you can hear it all night long? It's a small minute thing, but it irritates you to death. Moses had this in his life. Moses had some irritating things in his life. So today, I want us to recognize that God has a plan to help us deal with these things that are part of every one of our lives. Moses, he dealt with these things, these small things in his life. And we can look at how he dealt with them. We can find the right and wrong ways we should deal with these things. He made some great decisions. He made some also terribly bad decisions based on small things. Through the decisions that he made, you and I can learn some things here. So let's talk about this. I want to discuss five decisions we should make to handle the small things, looking at Moses' life here. Number one, we got to decide that nothing is too small for prayer. Nothing is too small for prayer. In Exodus 15, bring it up here. All throughout the book of Exodus, we see the same format happening. The people complained, and later on in the verse, Moses asked the Lord for help. People complained, and Moses asked the Lord for help. People complained time and time and time again throughout Moses' life. When he was leading the children of Israel, we see where the people complained and Moses asked God for help. Now, this is a very important thing because something as simple as people complaining that Moses took before the Lord. He didn't just pray. This is something we see about Moses' character. Moses just didn't pray when he got to the Red Sea. God, move. I mean, he didn't just pray then. But Moses prayed even about the small things. God, the people are complaining and they're getting on my nerves. God, these people are nagging and they're getting on my nerves. And so Moses would go and he would talk to the Lord about them, because we find out that there is nothing too small for prayer. And Moses had this embedded in him. He prayed about even the small things. It's an amazing thing to me about Moses. He prayed about all these big things, but yet he would come and he would pray about the small things that irritated him. If you're having a problem thinking about what I'm talking about, my little things, I'm talking about, you know, small irritations, talking about small problems, talking about today small decisions, things that we do in our life. I'm talking about things that matter to God. Now, are you saying today, Pastor, we have to pray about every small irritation? If something's bothering you, you have a channel to pray with God, and God's there to help you. Don't let something fester in your life. Don't let something bother you. Yeah, you say, you know what? No one else will probably care about it. You're right. Sometimes there's things that bother us and nobody else will care about except for God, because God cares about what bothers you. God cares about the things that you care about. That's the kind of personal God that you serve. And we sometimes, you know, I'm not telling you we have to pray about every little decision. I don't have to pray when I go to the store. God, what kind of tissue do I buy? Charmin? Or sandpaper? I don't know which one I should buy, God. Just give me wisdom. You know, we don't have to, I'm not talking about praying, but, you know, over a little thing like that. But there's small things in our life. If it matters to you, it matters to God. Asking God for direction, asking God for wisdom on how you handle a meeting, how you handle conversations, how you handle friendships, how you handle your money, how you handle purchases, how you handle relationships, how you handle your words. God cares about these things. God cares about the things that you care about. And sometimes we think, you know, I can't go to God unless it's something really big, you know. You know, kids, they kind of figured it out. My kids know me. They kind of wait and hit me up for the big things now, because they know if they hit me up with too many small things, I'll say no to the big thing. And so they're getting smart, and they want to now hit me up with the wait and save it up for the big thing, you know. But, you know, God, he's a lot better than dad. Because God cares about even the smallest of things, even the things that I probably wouldn't care about. God cares about. That's the kind of personal God we have. That's the kind of relationship we have with our God. And Moses knew this, and Moses was talking to God, not only about parting the Red Sea and about all the trouble you had, but he was saying, God, these people are nagging me. They're complaining, and it's getting on my nerves. We see where Moses was not afraid to talk about the small things in his life. It's the small things that make way to the big differences in our life. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you and what happens to you. Pretty simple thing. We give all of our cares to God. We give all our worries to God. You want to start off the year right, man? You're learning to give God even the small things in your life, small problems. God, man, my wife and I, we're not getting along today the way we should. Stop and pray that prayer. God, help me. Help me to have a better attitude when I get home from work today. Help me today when my husband gets home to have a better attitude. Help me today to be a little more patient with my kids when they get through the doors of getting off that bus today at school. Whatever those small things that you're dealing with, pray to God and ask for him and allow him to help you. God cares about the small things. And number two, expect disappointment. Now, this goes very much against what I teach most of the time, because I'm very much a person that says that we need to have a positive outlook and keep positive in everything. At the same time, I want to bring the balance to that and say to this, that you know what? Life's unfair, and we're all going to be disappointed from time to time in our life. We're all going to be disappointed in our life from time to time. For me to tell you that life's never going to be disappointing, that would be a lie, okay? Because we all know that life is disappointing. That life, there's things that happen out of our control, or sometimes because of things we did, or they're out of our control. But life is disappointing at times. And I know that's not always the best news to hear. It's not always the best thing to hear that life's disappointing. But sometimes it is, isn't it? It's a matter of truth that life sometimes is disappointing. And if we want to make it through the irritations of disappointments in our life, then you must have learned to expect at times it's going to happen. Because if I know it's going to happen, then it changes my outlook. Because you know what? I know that I'm going to have disappointments at times in my life. So I cannot choose whether or not they happen. What I can choose is my reaction to them. And that's what I preach, is our reaction to disappointments. I can either face my disappointments like this. God, why does everything always bad happen to me? My sister, she always gets the relationships. Her kids are always behaving. She always gets the raise at work, and I never get anything. I mean, we sit over in the Molly Grubs and we complain. Or we can say, you know what? Life's going to throw you curveballs at times. But God, there's no problem bigger than what you are. God, there's no problem bigger than what you can handle in my life. And if I know that even in the small things in my life, that I'm going to have some small setbacks, but a setback today doesn't mean that I'm going to go backwards. I'm still going forward. God, with you, that means you got a different path I'm going to take. God, you're choosing me to have a different path tomorrow I got to go walk down. It's all in my outlook because I know they're going to happen. Scripture is very plain about that. It talks about in life there's going to be sorrows. There's going to be times of disappointment, times of sadness. We know that. But I cannot change that. That's going to happen. What I can change is how I approach that and my attitude toward that. And my attitude toward that should be, you know what? You know what? It's just going to happen sometimes. But you know what? God is bigger. That's the exciting thing of being a Christian, that God is bigger than any problem that I face. And when I come with that attitude, it changes. Look what Exodus 15, 22 and 23 says here. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without water. And when they came to Marah, they had found the water, but the people couldn't drink it because it was bitter. I mean, can you talk about being disappointed? They've gone 3 days in the desert without water. And when they finally get to the bank of water, it's undrinkable because it's bitter. I mean, I'd be disappointed too, you know. Can you imagine they see it? Is that a mirage? Is it really water? They're probably hallucinating by this time. And they run to the water, and they get there, they find out it's bitter. It's undrinkable. If they drink it, it will make them sick, and so they can't drink the water. And so, I mean, how can I imagine Moses is like, all right, God, another snag in the road here, you know. And the people, they couldn't drink it, and they named that place Marah because it means bitter. And Moses saw God's plan because he didn't get stuck in the disappointment. Everybody else was like, oh, it's bitter water. We're going to die. I can't make it any longer. Instead of realizing, you know what? God, remember what God did? He's the God who parted the Red Sea. All the plagues, he's delivered us, you know. He's going to take care of us. Moses simply slips away and says, God, something's got to change here. Yeah? All right, we come to this point. What do you want us to do? And God gives Moses direction because Moses did not get caught up in disappointment. When others got caught up in disappointment, Moses simply says, God, what do you want me to do? And God gives Moses direction. He says, Moses, see that stick over there? Take that stick and throw it in the waters. And when it hits the waters, the water will become clean. That's my sign to the people that I'm with you. I care about you. And so he does that, and we see where God does that and takes care of them. But, you know, that never would have happened if Moses would have stuck over. All right, God, 3 days, man, 3 days. And this is how you repay us. You know, even though some of the people caught that attitude, Moses stayed focused. Moses stayed focused, and he knows, you know, another snag in the road. But God has not brought us this far to leave us. God did not bring us this far to abandon us now. I know that God will supply. He has a different plan. God, what is that plan? And because he was faithful, because he was listening, God gave him that different plan. But Moses had been caught up with the people and got over there just feeling sorry for themselves. They'd have probably all died out in the desert. But because Moses stayed focused, he heard the direction that God wanted to take the people. And so that's why it's important. When we had disappointments, we don't fall into this great depression and isolate ourselves from people. God doesn't care about me. No, that's when you say, God, all right, what do you want me to do with the situation? God, I wasn't expecting this to happen. God, I wasn't expecting this to happen. But God, if I listen to you, you will give me direction on how to get through this. God, you will give me direction on how to make this better. God will never leave you or forsake you. He will lead you at every point in your life if you will just learn, even in the small things, even the small disappointments, even the small irritations, to say, God, where are you leading me? Where do you want to take me? You cannot choose to be surprised. You cannot choose today that disappointments are going to happen. They're going to happen. We know that. But you can choose what? You can choose to be surprised by it. You can choose to be resigned by it. I can be surprised. Oh, wow, it happened. I didn't know this was going to happen. Or I can say, you know what? I quit. I quit. I quit life. I quit. I'm quitting church. I'm quitting people. I'm quitting everything. See ya. or I can choose to be faithful through it. I can choose to be faithful through it. And it's the mature person who says, you know what? Even though I got some things I'm going through I didn't expect to happen, God, I know if I'm faithful through this, that God, you're going to lead me through it. God, you're going to take me through it. God, you got a better plan for me. And it's that mature person who sees that, and God always leads out. It's faithful in the small things. What else do we see Moses doing? Number three, the choice to constantly consider God's care. Moses constantly considered God's care. Do you want to face the small irritations with victory? Then consistently consider God's care in your life. You and I need something as a part of our everyday lives to help us get over the small difficulties. What is that? It's to constantly, daily, we're to consider God's care for our life. When you constantly, daily, listen to me, not Sunday, but daily, not once a week, but daily, consider God's care for your life. It will change your life. God never designed for you to come to church on Sunday and to go from Sunday to Sunday. But this Christian walk is a daily walk. As I talked about last week, it's God intermingled in every part of our life. He doesn't want a slice of our life. He wants the whole pie. He wants to be involved in everything. And so the choice, constantly consider God's care. It's a daily choice. Defeating the daily things, small things, because we face small things daily, don't we? So how do I defeat those things? How do I conquer those things? It's to daily consider God's care in my life. How do I do that? Throughout the day, God cares about me. Throughout the day, I realize God cares about me. How do I do that? Let's read what the Scripture says here. The people of Israel got this constant reminder of God's care in a particular way. Exodus 16:4. Let's bring it up. Exodus 16:4. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. The people called can get out each day and pick up as much food as they need for the day. Now we know this food to be called manna. This is what they called it. They called it manna. And God was giving them a daily meeting of their needs. They're in the desert. There's no food there. You can't grow food there. There was nothing. And God says, I'm going to show you daily that I care for you. I'm going to show you daily that I need to do something in your life. And so today we know this, that God took care of them daily, and he called this thing manna, this food. And he gave out some things about manna we got to see here. He said manna, first of all, was a daily reminder. It was a daily reminder that for them, the fact that God cared for them. It was once a week. It wasn't once a week. It was every day. It was an everyday thing. You couldn't hoard it. You could only gather it enough for that day. Manna was given out early in the morning, and you can only get enough for that day. And if you got more than enough for one day, it'll spoil overnight. So you can only take enough for one day. You can only gather enough for one day. You couldn't build up, this is what's cool, you couldn't build up manna, go out and take all the manna and build it up for 1 month, and then come back a month later because it would spoil. And God designed it that way because he wanted them to know daily he cared for them. And he wanted them to know that daily he was thinking of them. He didn't want them to go out and get a one-time sweep. That's why today that you can't come in and have one great big service and feel charged and leave here and it'll last you for 7 days. No, you gotta have a daily relationship with Jesus. That will sustain you. You gotta have a daily thing of relationship with Jesus. That's what sustains you. That's what will help you through the small things in life. That's what will help you through the big things in life. It's the daily relationship. And he says, I'm going to prove it to you. He says, I'm going to care for you daily. And so he lets them know that it was a daily thing. We also know that manna, it melted in the sun. They had to get up early to do it. So what's the lesson here? Okay, here's the manna that's going to happen on the dew of the morning. When the dew settles, it's going to be on the ground. And if they waited until the sun got up to the fullness of the morning, it would actually melt off. It would burn off. And so they had to get up early and pick the manna that God had set there for them. And you see, what's the lesson in this? It's a simple lesson in this, that God wants you to start off your day remembering that he's your God. He wants you to start off every day remembering he's in charge. He's your provider. He cares about you. He wants you to start off your day remembering that God loves you and he cares for you. That's what he was trying to teach them, that you start off your day early knowing that I love you and I care for you. God said none of it's going to be gathered on the seventh day. But he said, but on the sixth day, you will be allowed to take enough for 2 days. That's the only day you can do it. But on the sixth day, you can take enough for 2 days, because on the seventh day, I want you to be free to worship. I want you to, to have nothing on your plate. I want you to be free to worship. And so God was teaching them a very, very specific principle that worship is an important thing. And so you need to realize that worship, what we're doing today, is a very important thing to God, just like the daily thing is. That the daily thing is important to God, and what we do here corporately is very important to God. He was teaching them through this thing in manna. Spiritually, it's very clear that the Bible says that the way God supplies our needs is through the Bible. He says this, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but we live on every word that God speaks. What's the word manna mean? You know what the word manna means, actually? Some of you think it means heavenly bread. No. Actually, the word manna means this. Bring it up there. What is it? What is it? Because when they walked out, they'd never seen manna before. And they said, what is it? And so they named it. That's the meaning of the word manna. It means what is it? That's what they actually meant. What is it? So that, I mean, that's kind of a cool thing, isn't it? What is it? That's what they named manna. Really high tech. I would have thought they had named it at least Wonder Bread, but I don't know. Or Angel Food Cake. I don't know what they could have named it. They didn't name it God's Blessing from Heaven. They didn't name it anything else. They named it manna. What is it? That's always interesting to me. But I think that today that collates to us in the lesson that when God does some great things in our life, when God cares for us, most of us are like these people of Israel. Most of us, our approach is, what is it? When God's trying to show you that he cares for you, some of us are like, what is it? Where is God's blessing? Where's that? I can't see it. I don't feel it. And it's all around us. And it's there. And God's like, I'm supplying it for you every day. This relationship's a daily thing. And we're like, where is it, God? Where is it? What is it? I don't know. What is this? This is a blessing? And God's like, yes, it is. If you will take it and take it to heart and follow my instruction, it will become the biggest blessing that you've ever known. See, that's what manna is. We can learn a great lesson here and a small thing. Luke 12, 25 and 26. Jesus asks, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And if a worry can't do a little thing like that, then what is the use of worrying over bigger things? That's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, these guys, I'm sure, interesting enough, I'm sure they had to get tired of eating this manna over 40 years, don't you think? 40 years of eating manna. I was just thinking about that. I was thinking, man, hey, 40 years of eating manna. I'm sure they had, you know, manna pancakes and manna sandwiches. And maybe for dessert they had manna splits. I don't know. We can think of a manicotti, though. I think that's really was a good thing they invented. But just playing. Some guy, really? Manicotti? That was what that is? No. Can you imagine they really had to think, you know, and become ingenious in the ways they fixed this manna over time. But manna represents so much. And I say today this, that in every one of our lives, that God does miracles. If we're not careful, we'll get so used to the miracles that we overlook them. I'm sure that this miracle, that God is feeding you every day fresh food in the desert. I mean, that's a great miracle. But when it happens for 40 years, we can take it for granted, can't we? And I think that's the same way in our own life. If we're not careful, we can allow the small things God does for us every day to be overlooked, taken for granted. How many got up this morning and said, God, thank you, I'm breathing? Probably not more than two people this morning got up and said, God, thank you, I'm breathing. We just got up and automatically took for granted, hey, I'm breathing. Carl tells me every morning he gets up and says, God, thank you, I'm breathing. I believe him. He tells me I believe him. Listen, don't forget the small things. God cares about you. Don't overlook the small things. God cares about you. Number four, we're going to bring it to a close here real fast. Don't let your anger make your decisions. Don't let your anger make your decisions. Moses made a lot of good decisions in his life, but he made one terrible decision. It was over a little thing, a small thing, because of that decision, he was denied entry into the promised land. God said, no, you're not going to go into the promised land. You're not going to lead them over there. Somebody else will because of this. Here's what happened. People are thirsty again. This is another one of those times when they're thirsty and they're needing some water again. Okay, this is after God's already parted the Red Sea. This is after God's already threw the stick into the water and turned it to, you know, clean. Now they're thirsty again, and they don't know what to do. And so God is now, you know, they're grumbling to Moses again. People are grumbling to Moses again, and Moses is tired of their grumbling. And God gives Moses a plan in Numbers 20 and 8. Numbers 20 and 8. It says, as they watch, speak to that rock. This is what God tells Moses. As they watch, speak to that rock over there and tell it to pour out its water. So Moses says in front of the people, speak to that rock and tell it to pour out water. Look what Moses does. That's God's plan. But look what Moses' plan says in Numbers 20, 10, and 11. Then Moses said to them, listen. Now, first of all, I see things differently. So when I hear this verse, Moses is very angry, okay? He's very angry. I kind of think of Sean Connery saying this right here. I don't know why, but I can just see Sean Connery saying, Moses said to them, listen, you rebels. That's what he said. Listen, you rebels. God's plan was walk over to the rock and tell the rock to pour out water. But Moses' plan was, listen, you bunch of rebels. Must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. And some of us, we say, you know, that's not a big deal. So he messed up a little bit. It's a very big deal. Because we see here, even though he was angry, and he'd been angry before, this time his anger got to him, and he called him. He said, listen, you bunch of rebels. Then his anger bring forth, and he says, hey, does God and I, he's putting himself in equal ground with God. Does God and I, do we have to bring you water out of this rock? Because of a small irritation, because of the grumbling, a thing that he was praying about and under control, now it sets him off. And now because of his disobedience, he misses out on entering the promised land. Isn't it interesting? It's just a small thing. Just a small thing, but yet it cost them a big thing. I'm here to tell you today that it's the small things that will cost you the big things. It's a small secret sin that will cost you the things that you don't want to give up. It's the small things in your life that will cost you things and a price you don't want to pay. That's why it's important that I learn to continually, daily, conquer the small things in my life. Because if not, it's the small things that fester up. If I don't learn to talk about the small things that fester up in my life, then all of a sudden it's a small thing that sets me off. I'm like, ah! My wife's like, well, where did that come from? I'm like, I don't know, but I got to tell you this. And I just let it all out there. And I'm like, ah! She's like, where did that come from? You know? I'm like, well, it's been there. It's been there for a long time. It's been building up. It's the small things that build up. And if I don't let it out and get over the small things, then something, a little thing will happen, and it'll cause me to react in a big way. I've got to learn to conquer the small things better in my life. You and I, we need to work on learning to conquer the small things better in our life. Skip to number five here in closing. Number five is this. You remember the big things. Remember the big things. This is so important. When you handle the small things, it's so important to constantly remember the big things. Deuteronomy 5:15. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out with amazing power and mighty deeds. Deuteronomy 7:21. He is a great and awesome God. Listen, when it comes to defeating the small things in your life, when it comes to defeating the small things in your life constantly, you have got to learn. You and I have got to learn to continue to remember the big things. It's the big things. Remember that you were once a slave, and now you're free. They had such a mindset of wanting to be free, and when God finally sets them free, that they even found themselves saying, I'd be better off going back than being a slave. I mean, it's that mentality. You got to constantly remind yourself, you know what, God is big God, and God can do it, and God has done it. And he's done it time and time again. If he can do it for anybody, he can do it for me. If he did it for Moses, he can do it for me. If he did it for Elijah, he can do it for me. If he did it for Peter, he can do it for me. If he did it for John, he can do it for me. If If he did it for my grandma, he can do it for me. If he did it for my dad, he can do it for me. If he did it for my sister, he can do it for me. I remember that God is working, and God still does big things in my life. And God still is the miracle-working God, and God still does miracle-working things. And if I never forget anything else, I remember that Jesus Christ died for me, the most biggest thing in my life, and that I am set free by grace. By grace, I am set free, for I was once a sinner, damned to hell. I was once a sinner, condemned to hell, but through grace, I have been set free. Through the relationship of Jesus Christ, I have been set free. Through Jesus, I have been set free, and that's a big deal. I never forget the big deal, because when I forget the big deal, I might as well give it up. But I always remember the big deals. I always remember it is a big deal, and I remember the big deals. It helps me deal with the small deals. There's nothing too big for my God, and God cares about the small things, and God cares about the big things. Whether it's no water for that day, or whether it's parting the waters. God cares about the small things in our life. And when we learn to handle the small things right, then God says, I will unlock to you bigger blessings. Let's bow our heads. Today, with every head bowed and your eyes closed today, I just want to ask you this question. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I just want to, if I can do anything else to handle the small things, I first of all got to do the big things you're talking about. I need to ask Jesus Christ into my life as my Lord and personal Savior. But nobody moving around and everybody being very still and very reverent this morning, I'm going to ask you this question. If you're here today and say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never accepted him before. I won't embarrass you in any way. I want to give you a chance to do that today just where you're at. Can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life today. I want to ask him to be my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand high where you're at? No one's looking but me. I want to give you the opportunity today. Can you raise that where you're at today? Raise a hand. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm right in my relationship with Jesus, but you're talking about conquering the small things in my life, and I realize it's the small things that are constantly bringing me down. It's the small things that I'm still stumbling with. I do great on Sunday, and I do great maybe on Monday, but throughout the week, I'm still struggling. And I need to learn today, as you're talking about, I need to learn to apply this message to my life personally. I need to learn to how to conquer the small things in my life. Today, if God's been speaking to you and say, yeah, that's me, I want to learn to apply this message to my life, Pastor. Can you just raise your hand where you're at? Thank you. Yeah, several hands. Thanks for being honest. Just raise your hands where you're at. Yeah, okay. Thanks, guys, for being honest. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I want you to just do me a favor. Can you just grab a hand of the person next to you? Can you do that? I mean, no, we need each other, don't we? We need each other now. Part of the ways of helping us conquer the small things is the person sitting next to you, having people pray with you and encourage you. We need each other. And today I believe that we will allow the power of the Holy Spirit to come and fill our life. We're going to pray about the things that really matter to you. Find a place of prayer where you can pray and say, God, these things really matter to me. May not matter to anybody else, but they matter to me. And give them to God. Allow God to begin to work on our behalf. And we work through the small disappointments in life. And we're going to work through things and changes. And we're going to see that God has done big things in my life. Reflecting on the big things. How I handle the small things will shape my future. How I handle the small things will shape my destiny. It will determine whether this year is going to be a great year, or be an average year, or a bad year. How I handle the small things will determine the outcome this year. So this year, we're saying, God, we want this to be the best year possible. We believe this is going to be the best year my marriage has ever had. This is going to be the best year I've ever had personally. This is going to be the best year of my job, the best year of my family, the best year personally that I've ever had with you. It's going to happen. It starts in the small things. So let's pray. Father, right now, I'm going to pray, Lord, for every person who raised their hand today, which is a lot of people here today. So, Father, as we hold hands across the auditorium today with our neighbor, I pray that, Father, as we agree in prayer, Lord, I pray that your supernatural Holy Spirit power today would come, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord, with the determination, with the boldness of your Spirit that would allow us to overcome, Lord, in our life, even the small things. That, God, our eyes would be open and the small things matter to you. The small sins, they matter to you. Small lies, they matter to you. Small things, details, they matter to you. Small things, small irritations, small problems, they all matter to you. And when I learn to discipline myself and give them to you, to talk to you, to listen to you, that, Father, today my life can begin to change, because when I handle the small things correctly, then I'll take a step forward and I'll handle the big things even better. And when the big storms come, I'll be ready. My feet are grounded because I've handled the small things with diligence, with faithfulness. God, I pray today for every person here, Father, that the power of your Holy Spirit would empower them, Lord, to face any problem they're facing this year. That, God, that they would be reminded daily that you care about them. Daily, God, that you care about them. Just like you showed us through the illustration of manna. That, God, it's a daily thing that you care about us. That you want to prove to us it's a daily thing. That you never intended for us to come to one service and get it all for 1 week or for 1 month. But, God, it's a daily thing with you. It's a daily thing. It's a daily walk with you. If you remind us that, God, you care about us and that you love us, and we acknowledging that and we walking in that. And God, I pray today that, God, we'll face even the small things this week with integrity, with perseverance, and with faith in our heart like we never had before. And I pray this through your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. Pastor Matt. 6:00, we're going to be here. We'll feed you. Come and help us.